Sunny Sandoval, Chrissy Katina, Greg Ressinger. Different journeys, but all headed to the same destination. Life without a future and a hope. All searching. What is the meaning of life? Is there really a heaven? Can I find true happiness? Greg Laurie, the voice and the face of Harvest Crusades, asked himself these age-old questions.
Underway in America, this may well be the leading edge.
And it would seem America's young people have a renewed interest in religion.
It's life or death for me. I either have life with God or I turn my life over to drugs and alcohol and my own will, and I don't have life.
His name is Greg Laurie, and they've been writing him up as a man that is going to be the evangelist of the future. And he is.
Big risk, but you know, we're called to go out and proclaim the message of the gospel.
Are you certain that if you died tonight, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you would go to heaven?
Your eternal destiny hinges on your decision. You're going to either say yes or no to Jesus right now.
Says there is joy in heaven in the presence of the angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. And heaven is aware of what has happened here tonight.
Waves, disturbances in the ocean that transmit energy from one place to another. Mostly generated by wind, waves move across open ocean, maintaining a constant speed, unaffected by depth, until they reach shallow water. Ranging from melodic, peaceful ripples to tsunamis of mass destruction, there are no two waves alike. An artist, painter, sculptor, uses an empty canvas, a piece of clay, to create, mold, and shape his work of art. In surf culture, that raw material is simply called a blank. The master shaper begins the initial process here, forming, molding, and shaping. Great pride is taken in his workmanship, crafting and creating a work of art. But that's not the surfboard's only purpose. The master shaper takes into consideration specific body heights and weights, skill sets for riding a wave. Smooth water, choppy water, big waves, rip curls. And no matter how beautiful they look or how well they ride, they're also created for survival. Like a wave, life is unpredictable. One's journey in life leads down various paths. Outside the fact that we're all held to this earth by the same gravity, there are no two paths necessarily alike. Loneliness, hopelessness, destruction, broken by circumstances, born into it, or free will choices. Most of the time, the journey leaves us broken apart, hoping to be put back together. To escape is avoiding reality that oftentimes become addictions. In the life of Greg Ressinger, he wanted out of his present circumstance, no matter what the cost.
There wasn't any conversations of faith or God in my upbringing. It wasn't that I don't think my mother was opposed to anything. It was just never discussed. She kind of grew up in the Church of England as a young kid and kind of experienced the abuse of church. It was difficult. It was rough. It was lonely. It was a little fearful. It was a lot of questions. There was a lot of angst and rage that I think began to set within me. So you begin to defend yourself, care for yourself, realize that there's not many people that you felt were for you. And so you took on postures of volatile reaction and violence. And unfortunately, that kind of began to be the script of my life. And so it was this deep sense of isolation and this deep sense of aloneness that is deafening to you as a human being, you know, let alone you as a teenage boy. Like any person that's feeling deep isolation, loneliness, asking many, many questions of why, kind of dealing with your own existential being or the idea of any sort of philosophy of why life exists, why are you here, and layered with all of the disturbances, either by your own choosing or the choosing of others, an escape is helpful. An escape is what you move to.
There's an old saying, different strokes for different folks. In the life of Chrissy, she had nothing to escape from.
I think I had a pretty normal childhood. Great family, had a brother and a sister. We got along great most of the time. But I just have a lot of wonderful family memories. We had a very tight family. I knew and I believed in God. If somebody asked me that, I would say, sure, I believe in God, absolutely. I believe that I should go to church on Easter and Sunday, make sure I do those things. And I had a general knowledge of God and of Jesus, but not a full understanding.
Many people have a misconception of God and what's required for them to go to heaven. As long as our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, God will surely reward us, won't he? If religious rules are followed, we live a good life, but as a result, there's still no foundation for happiness, peace, and eternal life. Then there are journeys where the unintentional, uninvited, unwanted obstruct your path, diverting you down a different road.
Grew up in a young rock and roll family, so my family were always partying, and grew up with a lot of guys that were always getting into trouble, but at the same time, we were always still a brotherhood. And when I was 19, my mother, she was diagnosed with leukemia. And at this point, she had already, you know, receive the Lord. And so I watched my family go from this crazy, you know, drug selling, partying, young family to actually having some peace in their life, you know, and their life was starting to get settled and stuff. My mom had remarried and had two girls. And so I started to watch the Lord in their life, you know, but when she was diagnosed with leukemia, that's when I kind of had this big wake up call.
Sonny Sandoval, Chrissy Katina, Greg Ressinger. Different journeys, but all headed to the same destination. Life without a future and a hope, all searching. What is the meaning of life? Is there really a heaven? Can I find true happiness? Greg Laurie, the voice and the face of Harvest Crusades, asked himself these age-old questions. Born out of wedlock, his mother was married and divorced many times, his life out of control. But at a young age, his search for sanity, security, peace, love, led him to the answer.
The first time I probably heard the gospel was at church with my grandparents, who I lived with for a number of years, and my mom was running around living her crazy lifestyle. I remember watching Billy Graham preach on our black and white television set in our front room there in Southgate, California. I remember looking at that picture of Jesus my grandmother had hanging on her wall and thinking to myself, I wish I could have known Jesus. I remember years after that, I was at a movie theater watching Ben-Hur of all things, and there's a scene in the film, of course, where Christ appears to Ben-Hur. You only see Jesus from the back, and you see how Ben-Hur is impacted by seeing Jesus. And I remember thinking in that theater, if only I could see Jesus, if only I could know him. See, I thought of Jesus as someone who once lived and died but was not necessarily around any longer. But on my high school campus in 1970, someone got up and talked about Jesus Christ in a way I could understand. And that was the day I responded to the gospel and I put my faith in Jesus and began to follow him. The gospel really is the power of God unto salvation. And you know what? The gospel, it never changes.
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is a continuous work. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's sanding off the rough edges. He is crafting us. His end game, his ultimate goal, is to make us all in the likeness of Jesus Christ. At the age of 19, God began to mold and shape Greg Laurie. A passion to share the gospel set the course for his life. Pioneering a church in Riverside, California, Harvest Christian Fellowship quickly grew into one of the largest churches in America. Then, in 1989, a new opportunity for sharing the gospel on a mass scale. The vision of Pastor Chuck Smith, following the model of the Billy Graham Crusades, Harvest Crusades with Greg Laurie began. The power of the gospel changes lives. And since that beginning, that message has never changed and has been proclaimed without compromise. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes.
So I had a terrible night that ended up the next day having just this crazy moment of overdosing, right? And so that kind of led me to really come clean with myself and have to take a really clear snapshot of, is this the direction you want to go in your life? So I kind of was in ICU for 3 days and had a lot of time to think and deal with the kind of the inner demons of that mock and whisper and really taking a good perspective of your life. And coming out of there, I knew I would commit to being clean, but there was still internal desire and searching to understand life. And I can remember at this time, I moved to Glendale, California to live with some friends who really kind of took me in. It was really kind of a healthy environment. We were throwing a party in Glendale, and I called some of my old friends, and one of them was a girl named Sarah. And I said, "Hey, Sarah, I'm throwing a party. I'd love for you to come up." And she says, "Hi, Greg, just to let you know, that's not my world anymore. I became a Christian." And I'm like, "Oh, wow, good for you, you know? Like, that's fantastic." And so she goes, "Well, why don't you come with me, you know, to church?" I said, "Yeah, well, you know, typically any place I've been, you know, the idea of something so clean kind of freaks you out." So I said no, and then we kept on talking, and then she said, "Hey, Lisa and me and others, we're going to this thing called Harvest Crusade. And Greg, it's outdoors, right? It's outdoors, like, you don't feel trapped or anything like that." I said, "Okay, if it's outdoors, I will go with you."
I know you feel like a face in the crowd tonight. There's a lot of people here, and you just feel like maybe God doesn't even know who you are or where you are. Nothing can be further from the truth. He sees you as an individual. He knows your needs, and he wants to change you tonight.
Greg Russinger attended the first Harvest Crusade in 1990. Chrissy was invited to attend in 1997.
Well, I'll never forget it because he came up to me and he said, "Would you like to go to this Harvest Crusade?" And I was like, "Harvest Crusade? Like, what do you do there? You pick corn? Like, what is a Harvest Crusade?" And he's like, "Well, it's a Christian concert." And I was like, "Oh, no, that's okay. I'm good. And he said, "Well, I think En Vogue is going to be there." And now En Vogue to me was like, that was all he had to say. To get me on board. And so I said, "Free concert, it's free, and Vogue's gonna be there. You got me, I'm going." And so I changed my plans and I was on board. I remember walking into the arena, and first of all, I was amazed at how many people were there. It looked like a concert, you know. The main difference was there was some worship music playing, and I saw people raising their hands. It was a little intimidating because I had seen some of that kind of thing on TV, but I never really experienced anything like that. I grew up Catholic, and you know, in Catholic church, you don't really raise your hands in church, so it was something kind of foreign, but I was intrigued.
In 1992, Sonny was invited to the Harvest Crusade. His acceptance of the invitation was for a different reason.
She had actually went through chemo, and she was in remission at the time, and even then, it was a good thing. I'm thinking, wow, she's, you know, things are getting better and stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously I didn't stop doing what I was doing, but I had come home one evening and she was sitting at the bottom of the stairs, and I was trying to sneak past her, you know, because I got high with my friends and I figured if I can just sneak to my room and ride past my mom, I'd be straight. But she was waiting for me, and then she just looked me in the eyes, and she told me, she said, you know, when I die, I want to know that you're going to be in heaven. You know, you and your sisters are going to be with me in heaven. And I said, Mom, don't talk like that. That's not going to happen. And she literally stopped me and said, no, when I die, I need to know this. And then it kind of became real to me, you know. So I was, even in my high state, I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, I'll do whatever you want. She said, come with me to the Harvest Crusade.
Watch Jesus Revolution and its history unfold in theaters in the hit film. Now you can own the inspiring true story on DVD. Accompany Pastor Greg Laurie, Chuck Smith, and Lonnie Frisbee as they help spread God's truth in the last great spiritual awakening in America. The Jesus Revolution DVD is a timeless film, and it also makes a great gift for an unsaved family member or friend. Request this special copy of the Jesus Revolution DVD when you donate today.
Maybe you've come here tonight searching for the meaning of life. You're not going to find it in things. You're not going to find it in pleasures. No matter how much money you get, no matter which goals you reach in life, you have that guilt that you can't seem to get rid of. It doesn't go away when you have a few drinks. It doesn't go away when you take some drugs. In fact, it comes back each day with a greater vengeance to haunt you. You're not going to find it in accomplishments. You're not even going to find it in religion. He knows your needs, and he wants to change you tonight. What you're looking for deep down inside is a relationship with God. God has dropped one lifeline from heaven, one way for you to know him, and it's Jesus Christ. There is no life away from him. Only Jesus Christ can get to the root of your problems. You were created to know him. Take the rope and be forgiven and saved. The gospel never changes. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. You see, my job is not to make the gospel relevant. The gospel is relevant. My job, if you will, is to just let the lion out of the cage. So when I go into that pulpit, I have complete confidence that God is going to honor his word, that the gospel is going to reach its intended target, and that people are going to believe. I was talking with a man the other day who had seen me preach on television, and this man was not a Christian. And he said, you know, as I watched you, it seemed to me you weren't preaching at all. You were just talking to me. And I thought about that for a moment, and I realized that that was actually a compliment. When I get up into the pulpit, I try to anticipate the reaction of a listener. I think of that non-believer, that cynic, and I try to think of what questions they might be asking at that very moment. And sometimes I'll stop myself mid-sentence and sort of react, like maybe I'm saying something. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. But you might be thinking right now, hold on for a second, preacher. How can you say Jesus Christ is the only way to God? There are many ways to God. And here's my response to that. There's only one hope in this life that can turn it around. There's only one lifeline that God has dropped from heaven for us to be forgiven of our sins. It's his son, Jesus Christ, who was born in that manger and died on the cross and rose again from the dead 3 days later, who now stands at the door of your life and knocks. And if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. Jesus said it best right in the front of this platform. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. That's your answer. That's your hope. It's your only hope. I try to anticipate those questions, and I want to communicate in a way that's understandable in language that people understand. The Bible says there is coming a day when everyone will stand before God, the rich and the poor, the famous and the unknown, every man, every woman. And here's the question that will be asked in that final day. Not, did you live a good life? Were you a nice person? Did you recycle? The question is going to be, what did you do with Jesus Christ?
So when I came, when I went to it, you know, it was definitely outdoors. It was all outdoors, which was really like, I feel like I can be okay with this, right? And so I remember we walked all the way to the top. You know, it was kind of a grassy area. We just kind of sat down, and once again, it was so foreign to me, right? They were singing, this band or whatever was playing this music that, like, you know, wasn't the music that I would typically listen to. But everybody seemed to be kind. Did I know it was genuine? I couldn't judge it that quickly. I mean, obviously, I had my filters on and my grid and the defense mechanisms and all the protective elements that I have created over the years. And so I think there was probably the curious there, just like myself, probably the critical like myself. I think it was a kind of a cornucopia of all kind of human existence that was kind of all settled in this big giant space. And so I was just more like, you know, kind of like, what is this, you know? And then Greg comes out, and he was so far away from me. I think he had a mustache at the time. He seemed like a, you know, just kind of a genuine guy. He just started talking, and I was trying to pay attention to some of the language that he was using, try to understand. And I think for me, in the place that I was at, I think storytelling was really important for me. So I think that he could actually intertwine the honesty of his own world and what I know now, kind of allow that to collaborate with God's desire for all of us. I think it was really important for me to ascertain the genuineness of the moment.
I don't expect my listeners to know theological language. In fact, in these days we're living in now, I don't even expect them to understand plain biblical language or even know basic biblical stories. There's a great illiteracy when it comes to scripture. So I explain my terms as I go. If I'm telling someone they need to accept Christ, I don't assume they even know what that means. So I break it down. Who is Jesus Christ? What am I talking about when I say accept him? What does it mean to believe in him? And I want to make it as understandable as I possibly can.
I will never forget when Greg Laurie was standing on the stage talking, and it was almost as if he was talking right to me, because it was exactly the thoughts in my head.
You might say,
he said,
well,
you may be
person.
Here tonight, and you I may think you're a pretty good person.
You're a sinner.
You got it all figured out that God's just going to be okay with you. He said, I've got news for you. It is by grace that you are saved. It's through faith. There's nothing you can do to be good enough to get into heaven on your own. It's a gift, and you have to receive it. I never at all ever once thought about it like that. You know, compared to most people, I'm pretty good. You know, I think God would be okay with me. And that night I realized it was nothing about me being good. It had nothing to do with that. It was about me receiving a gift of salvation in my heart and asking Jesus to be my Savior. And that night changed my life.
I'm simply a delivery boy. My basic job is to bring the gospel in an understandable way so people can understand what it means to believe in Jesus Christ and how they can have eternal life. You know, it's been said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. I expect when the gospel goes out that the Lord will bless it.
He was inviting people to really respond to the grace of God that was present in that place. I didn't feel this overwhelming sense of emotion. It was just more of this anxiousness of what is this? This deep curiosity to what's happening now after he spoke, that some sort of, it's resonating within the totality of my person, like what's going on, like what's coming alive, or what's causing me to want to respond to this. The only way that I can somehow correlate it, it's like that one moment where you feel so anxious within yourself, and you feel like it's that moment just before you kiss somebody for the first time. It's like everything about you is like clamming up. There's like, oh, what's going on, you know what I mean? So it was just a very interesting exchange for me. Back then, I didn't have words. There was no understanding. I couldn't comprehend it now, like I can today. I can ultimately say today there was just this genuine sense of God's grace drawing me to a discovery of kind of my truer self, or a sense of maybe what I'm meant to be or something. And
I'll never forget walking down and when I was going to pray the prayer of salvation, and I just felt this peace in my heart that I had never felt before. And when I prayed, it was like the Holy Spirit had just come over me. That moment was the day I was reborn, and I will never forget that.
Thank you.
know, I see people coming forward to Christ. People have asked me, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? I actually asked that question of Billy Graham years ago. I said, Billy, what do you feel when you extend the invitation for people to come to Christ? And Billy told me he felt as though power went out of him, like he was being drained. And I know that feeling very well. When I'm inviting people to Christ, I feel like I'm just drained emotionally, drained physically. In fact, I am so exhausted, I feel like I could lay down on the stage and go to sleep. And I think what's happening is a spiritual battle is raging. It's not a moment of euphoria for me. It's a moment of battle for me. And I'm praying and I'm thinking. I'm thinking of people that are on the top of the stands that haven't come forward yet and are watching this. And I'm thinking this could be their last opportunity to hear the gospel. And I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord for wisdom about what I could say. Hi, I'm Greg Laurie. Could you use some good news in a bad world? I've got some good news for you. God loves you. And He has a plan for your life. But there's some bad news. The bad news is we've sinned against God. We've broken His commandments. But here's what God did. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins and rise again from the dead. Listen to this. If you ask Jesus to come into your life, your sin is forgiven and you'll go to heaven. If you want Jesus to come into your life, just pray a prayer like this. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I've fallen short of your glory. I want to know you. I want a relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, call that number or text that number on your screen right now.
Jesus says that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We are all different. We have different interests, different personalities, different upbringings, and different ways we do life. But here, we have a deep connection. And you are welcome here. This is Harvest.